Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Hello, Philip.
Hello, Ricardo.
I don't want to say good morning because I told you some people may listen to us at other times of the day.
That's right. When do you listen to the podcast yourself?
Would you be surprised if I tell you that at 10:01, the minute it goes out, I'm listening to it. And it's amazing the way that because we record in advance, and
right.
Sometimes this summer, for instance, we had to record much in advance. I don't always remember what we said, and sometimes I said, that was a good one, and
yeah.
Then I tell you, I text you, this one is good.
Every once in a while, yeah, I get my notes out again as I listen to it, and I say, oh, boy, that was a good point, and
yeah.
It's a point that I made.
And so I hope some priests listen to it the way we also listen to it. I begin my homily preparation many weeks by listening to what we said as a reference. And I have to admit that I'm very happy that you read the gospel, because that's for me practice for reading the gospel correctly.
We're really, really honored to have a number of priests who listen to the podcast, to reach out to us. And that's very humbling and makes me a little nervous sometimes, because they have more wisdom than me.
We had a meeting recently in the Archdiocese, and some priests came and said, thank you for this. And I said, we have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I cannot speak for our producer. I think she suffers more through the process than we do. But for me, it's fun. For me, it's fun. And it's been, there is something providential about this podcast. I was telling you the other day, we've never had to reschedule anything because of a funeral or some accident.
Right.
Or,
it's never interfered directly with a
yes,
parish
which
engagement.
Is interesting.
It's been good, yeah. So the Sunday coming up is November 10th. This is the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. A couple different options that you might hear at Mass this Sunday. Why don't you explain that?
The longer and shorter version of the gospel, but when it's only 7 verses difference, we normally would always go to the long one. I think you may find the longer one in many parishes, but there must be a little bit of a shorter version for some priests.
So I'm going to read what would be considered the longer version. This is Luke chapter 20, verses 27 to 38. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were 7 brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise, all the 7 died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all 7 had been married to her. Jesus said to them, The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and he is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. We had chatted just a little bit about this beforehand, and this is a tricky gospel. I think a tricky set of things that have been put together by Luke here. I think it's important. You may disagree with me. I think it's important, kind of big picture, first of all, when we hear this, to recall that this is about the resurrection, not so much about marriage. While Jesus is using this example here, or the Sadducees are bringing up this question to Jesus about marriage, the real point is much more so about the resurrection. Do you disagree?
I don't disagree that that's where Jesus takes it, to speak about the resurrection. But I think there is something here. So we know who the Sadducees are. The Sadducees are the wealthiest part of society, different than the Pharisees. You could say the Pharisees would be like more middle class. The Sadducees were in charge of the high priesthood of the temple and everything. They had a lot of wealth. They don't believe in the resurrection because they are having a lot of fun now. And of course, why would you believe in the resurrection if the fun is here on earth, right? But at the same time, they're asking Jesus a question when they don't believe in the, if you don't believe in the resurrection, why do they ask a question about their resurrection? You know?
Sure.
So they are trying to trap Jesus into something that they really don't believe in. So it's not an honest encounter with Jesus. So last week we were talking about this encounter between Zacchaeus and Jesus that was an honest, all-in encounter. This is the opposite. This is a whole class that cannot encounter Jesus because they are so much to protect and so very little interest in really knowing Jesus that this is what happens. And then Jesus takes it to speak about the resurrection and to say that God is a God of the living. That's a great line.
I think I agree with you. I think there's even another component, though, in that, as you acknowledge, the Sadducees deny the resurrection. I think that's important. Not are unwilling to believe in the possibility of the resurrection now that Jesus has been speaking of, but categorically deny it. And I think that trait of them is something that we need to be attentive to. In what ways do we categorically deny an idea? In what ways do we categorically deny the possibility that my opinion is not correct or the only one? Or I'd say, in what ways do we run into a categorical denial of Jesus Christ and even the possibility that there is a God as we encounter more and more of the reality of agnosticism and atheism? We're running up against a lot of closed-mindedness, you know, and that's the issue with the Sadducees. And when they ask this question of Jesus, they don't care. You say they don't believe. I just think they don't care. They're trying to trick Jesus. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the resurrection or marriage. They're trying to trick Jesus here. This is really a scriptural debate as they're both looking at Deuteronomy.
Part of what we could say today, again, we think it's not the most inspiring gospel. Let's put it this way. But there is something about interpret part of what Jesus says, children of the enter into marriage. Or I think what's saying there is that marriage is a means for salvation. We have to remember this. That the marriage is not a goal in itself. Marriage is a tool for salvation. I think the church would be very clear about this. And I think that's part of what Jesus is saying there.
I think you're right about that. So I will adjust my initial comments and say there is a beautiful connection of marriage here and a reminder that, in a sense, those who are married are partners on the pathway to heaven. Mm-hmm. Part of the role of your spouse is to help you to get to heaven. And it's so beautiful when you see that in practical ways, but to have that focus on heaven and not to get so obsessed with this earth and the things of this earth that you're forgetting about heaven. And that's when Jesus says, I'm the God of the living, not of the dead. Mm-hmm. That's the living here, but also eternal life. Mm-hmm. So those who are living with God forever in heaven.
I think that's where Jesus takes it. So they're asking him like almost to make fun of him, but he takes it to a very serious place to tell them, that thing you don't believe in, that's the core of the God I follow. That's the core of my Father's offer for salvation, yeah.
I think it's important to acknowledge just what you've said is really, you know, we keep saying, what's the main point of the gospel? Maybe there isn't one, but there are several. But we worship a God of the living. I do think that that is something that's very beautiful and something very encouraging. It's a God of the living, and a God of the living means we're always looking for new life into the future, and we have a trust, and we're looking to eternal life, and that's a distinct way of living, and we can make a choice not to live that way. Just the Sadducees, not to maybe, not to use them too much of an image here, but look at them, obsessed over meaningless sorts of debates, obsessed with tricking Jesus, closed-mindedness, There's a lot of ways we can live that way. And in fact, we engage in a world that in many ways is very closed-minded mm-hmm. to living. That's what Christianity really is. It's yeah. living. It's living your life to its full potential right now.
So it's an opportunity. So it's an opportunity for us also to review, do we worship a God of the living? So I have a friend who says that 83.5% of my homily is about image, the image of God, the image of Jesus. But that's an opportunity to reflect about, is the God I worship really a God of the living? If I'm depressed, I'm unhappy, if I go to Mass and I don't want to touch any other human being, we know people who cannot even give the sign of peace to others. Is this a worshiping of the God of the living, or it's more a death-like kind of faith expression, you know? And I think there is a lot about this. The lack of joy I see sometimes at Mass, and it includes myself. I mean, the other day someone told me, Father, you tell us to smile, but you don't smile yourself. Okay, I'll try to do better. But where is the joy? Where is the joy of the living? Yeah.
And the world needs this. Yeah. So I'll say then, as we look out in the world, you know, it's a world full of people who are more and more depressed and angry and upset and without joy, without smiles. How sad then to come into the church where we should be radiating joy. Mm. You don't. You're right. You know. So again, as we've mentioned this, as the celebrant, we're looking out on everybody's faces, just physically where we are. And boy, there are times where I would not bring a friend to church mm-hmm. because, boy, everyone just looks so dour. And it really is quite sad. And I say, boy, the world needs that. You can find dourness and sadness out in the world anywhere more and more now. Here in the church, we need to radiate joy. We need to look like we're living, you know, yeah. we're living and we're not dead.
I think part of it is the way we were raised, no? I mean, many people were raised in church, you have to be very proper and very serious. And yeah, I always say that some people even look hostile.
Right.
And when I say that, people say, oh, that's not true. Or maybe people are trying to listen well, and yeah.
Sure. And me too, by the way. You know, my parishioners will know as well, I'm not the best at smiling or looking sometimes happy. I am, but not
always. We are doing a full mea culpa.
That's right.
Both of us admitted that we are not always the most joyful either. So we took something from the gospel. There is inspiration there, the God of the living. I think that's a great line.
But it's important. There are a number of things going on here that everyone can reflect on in a particular way. And that's the beauty of reading the gospel and the readings ahead of time. If you go to Mass having done that during the week, I think you just engage in a whole new way, because there might be a little something in here that speaks to you that doesn't speak to someone else.
I have explained this before, but this woman who came to me and said, Father, what I like the most about you is how well you choose the readings on Sunday. We don't choose the readings on Sunday. You can go and find them in missalettes. You can find them on the
USCCB website. That's the best place, at least in English, to find it. Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
And then read them in advance, and then you will be more prepared. That's one way in which you can increase your level of participation at Mass.
In most parishes, if you do pick up the bulletin, if you go on their website, in fact, they list the scripture readings. So you could actually look there and pick up a Bible and find mm-hmm. that as well.
So. Because we know you are listening to this already, so you are hopefully preparing for next Sunday. But by checking the readings, you can see the connections with the first reading. You can see the psalm, the second reading, things that we may not mention on this short podcast, but that's part of our understanding of the Mass, that it's not only the gospel, the other readings are there also to help.
Monday is Veterans Day in the United States and many parts of Europe, in particular Armistice Day. So we recall in a very special way the sacrifice of those who went before us in many countries for peace. Anyway, we pray for all those who have died who are veterans in all parts of the world who fought for peace. So how about we get together next week? It'll be the 33rd Sunday, so we're getting close to the end of the year, but we'll chat next week. Would that be good?
We will.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media, but today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Frau Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.